This morning's message will be a little shorter. We are anxious. Everyone's anxious to get off to camp. If you will, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Some of you will automatically know what that chapter is, the Great Hall of Faith. I want to talk to you about a present and dynamic testimony. We're going to be in chapter 11, beginning with verse 30, through the first two verses of chapter 12 in a moment. I want you to think for a moment how other people see you, how other people view you in your walk with God. Do they see you as a religious person, or do they see you as a person of faith? Some of you may say, well, isn't that the same thing? And I'll tell you, no, they're miles and miles apart. Are you a religious person? Are you viewed as a religious person? Or are you seen as a person of great faith? A person who is religious may have no walk with God at all. You can come to church and you can do the things of, quote, religion. You can sing songs. You can bow your head. You can partake of communion. You can listen to the word and you can go home. You can even put a Christian bumper sticker on your car. It doesn't make you a Christian.
Right.
Neither does it make you a person of faith.
Right.
Now, you may be a Christian, but you may not be walking as a person of faith. You may not have a dynamic testimony. And that's what we're talking about this morning. There's a difference. Are you religious or do you have faith? And do people see you as a person of faith? Now granted, in a believer's life, many times that walk of faith will ebb, like the ocean tide. There are times when our faith is not as strong, not as dynamic as other times. Is your life basically dynamic or static? Dynamic means moving, always moving, ready, able to change and going forward in things. Dynamic. Static means fixed, unchanging. Could I ask you who have walked in faith this morning, do you feel like you're in a rut? You get tired of being in a rut. I do. And right now there are times that I feel like my life's kind of in a rut. And there have been times in the past when faith was propelling me forward in one area or another area. And there's always change. Now, we can be addicted to change too. Some people are addicted to change. In fact, I've met people who were never satisfied unless there was a crisis going on in their life. And they get through one crisis that they had to have something happen to cause another one just to keep their life in turmoil. We call that drama at Faith Harvest. And so there is a value in knowing how to be stable. But there is also a dynamic walk of faith that is both stable and able to be moved by God, able to be stretched, and able to do things, know things, say things, see things that other people do not. Chapter 11 and 12, basically 11 in the book of Hebrews, is known as the Great Hall of Faith. And it summarizes the work of faith through God's servants, mainly in the Old Testament. Because Paul is writing as one saved by grace on this side of the cross, but he's writing about Old Testament believers and the example that they are for us. Understand, the Old Testament is not something to be done away when the New Testament came. The Old Testament is one example after another for us. And so the Old Testament summarizes, or the chapter 11 summarizes, this work of faith. And if we look at these men and women in the Old Testament all the way through the ages, even though there are times of quiet, there are times of seclusion, there is always a testimony in their lives of movement. They are dynamic. They are not static. And what I mean by that is their life is such that onlookers can't explain this person's life. People looking on, look on in wonder. They look on in amazement. They may not even agree with that person. Maybe put off by that person, but they cannot deny that there's something different about that person and that they move in a realm that they do not understand. God intends that His people have a testimony, not the testimony that you came down the aisle 20 years ago and said, I accept Jesus. God intends for His people to have a testimony of what He is doing in their lives today. An ongoing testimony of the moving of the Holy Spirit of God, something dynamic, something real in your life. His people are not to blend in. Now it gets a little uncomfortable for you sometimes when we start talking this way, but God's intent is never that you blend in with your culture, never that you blend in with your society, never that you blend in with a lukewarm church. God's will is never that you be a chameleon that can change colors according to the group that you're with. God's will is not that you live a defeated life and that everyone see you moping because of your circumstances. God's will is not that you would be powerless. Not that you would be paralyzed by fear because of things that are happening in your life. God's will is not that you would be hopeless, that you would be in a rut, that your life would be static. God's will is not that you would be bound by something that you can't break free of. Some of you in this room, I would be willing to say, are bound by something that you can't break free of. There's something and you know it's displeasing to God. And you're saved. And you love the Lord, but you're bound by something that you've not been able to get free of. God's will is not that you would be under your circumstances, but that you would be on top of them. The life of the believer should defeat Satan's advances, should silence onlookers, should produce something. I want you to be just thinking as I speak these things, what is my life to other people? Do I produce something that is obviously by faith, something that is spiritual, something that is not ordinary through my life? God's will is that you would inspire others to draw nearer to Him. God's will is that your life would be a refuge. What does that mean? Your life would be a refuge for others who are hurting, others who need a haven and don't know how to find it yet in God. God's will is that you would lift other people up, that you would lead, that you would evangelize by your life and your words, that you would bring healing where you go, healing to hurts, healing to wounds. And I'm going to use a phrase, that your life would mystify the unbeliever. That your life would mystify the unbeliever. And I will explain that a little more in a second. I want to encourage you today in this walk of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 30, I want you to read with me. It's not going to be long. I want to comment on a few things in this chapter. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. He's already talked about Abraham and Moses in this chapter. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. I want to just touch on the walls of Jericho for a moment because I said that God's will is that your life many times would mystify unbelievers. And we think of that army, the army of Israel, as they marched around the city of Jericho. Just think if our armies went out and did something like this. They marched around the walls of the city of Jericho 7 days, 7 times they marched around. The one time each day, the 7th day they marched around 7 times, did not make a sound those first 6 days. Just marched around the city. And the people inside the city are looking on. They don't have a clue what these Israelites are doing. It makes no sense to the natural mind. Beloved, spiritual warfare makes no sense to the natural mind. And whether you know it or not, you are in a warfare over your soul. You are in a warfare over your testimony. You are in a warfare over the influence that you'll have. Fathers are in a warfare with Satan over the influence they'll have in their family and their children. There is a war that is raging around you all of the time. And to listen to the Spirit of God and how He tells you to defeat the enemy in that war will mean that He will tell you to do things that do not make sense to other people. That people do not understand. And so we see them marching around the city, and then in the end, the seven times, and the blowing of the horns, and the great shout, and the walls came down, and there was a great, great victory. Because they listened to the voice of God. And they did what did not look normal to other people. But they were willing to be obedient to God. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon. Gideon, the coward who hid in the wine press until God spoke to him and called him a mighty man of valor. Of Barak, I look at this and I'm amazed sometimes that Deborah's not listed. But Deborah inspired Barak to lead the armies in war. She went with them, but she inspired Barak to do what he was called to do by God and could not do because of his fear. And Samson, who had a great anointing from God, but thought he could just play with it. Thought he could just do foolish nonsense, and yet God still worked in his life when he operated in faith. Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, all of these moved in great faith. Who through faith, listen at what they did, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now I'm just going to tell you, we'll never most likely have it in our land. But that's the president that we need. The man who can subdue kingdoms through faith, who worked righteousness through faith. You may wonder, well, what does that mean? They worked righteousness through faith. Do you remember Joseph when he went down to Egypt and got sold, when he got sold into slavery and taken to Egypt, and then he became this head of the household in the home of Potiphar, and then everybody was out working, he was over the household, and Potiphar's wife, the seductress, kept coming after him and coming after him and coming after him. And because of his faith in the Lord, he was able to withstand her advances and to have a testimony. Beloved, you don't walk in righteousness without faith.
Amen.
Without exercising faith. You can't walk in righteousness because of your own willpower. You have to walk in righteousness because you are dependent upon the Lord and His righteousness to work through you. Obtained promises, which means they had communication with God so that they could receive His promises, and those promises have been given even to us. They obtained promises because they had faith to believe in God, and they believed those promises and saw God back those promises up. Stopped the mouths of lions, Daniel in the lion's den. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. How many of you in here would say today, you know, I'm really weak. I'm weak in my faith. I'm weak. I just can hardly stand right now and walk this walk. Became valiant in battle. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead. Women received their dead raised to life again. And it's amazing because last Sunday we talked about the church in China, the underground church in China, and women in China are receiving their dead raised again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Beloved, if your faith is only for miracles to get something for yourself, that's only half of what faith is for. That's a shallow faith. It may be a growing faith, and it's a part of our beginning faith. When we begin to walk with the Lord will do things in our lives where we see such sudden answers to prayer. And then other times it seems like we've walked with Him for years, and it's like, when is this going to happen, Lord? I've prayed forever. When is this going to happen? But it says that these who walked in great faith had trials of mockings and scourgings, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. You look at someone like that and you think, that's a loser. The world looks at someone who does not count material possessions high and says, what a loser, not knowing the treasure that might be within that person. And look at what God says about them in verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. A testimony through faith. Did not receive the promise. What promise? The promise of the coming of the Messiah. The promise of what they were looking for every time they offered a sacrifice. The promise given to Abraham when it says that he looked and saw a city afar off. In other words, the coming of the kingdom of God that we will one day see in fullness. And it says they walked in faith, but it wasn't for their lifetime. They didn't receive it, but God gave them miracles. He gave them an abundant life. He gave them victories. He gave them a dynamic life. He gave them a testimony. He gave them influence. He caused others to be inspired by them. He brought His words of judgment through them. And then He honored those words. He stopped armies. He moved the boundaries of nations because of the faith of ordinary men and women who believed in an extraordinary God. Amen. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are they? Those that He's just talked about. All of those that He has just talked about who have died in faith, who have gone before us, including my grandmother. Those who have gone on to be with the Lord, who had a testimony of faith and who walked in the power of the Spirit of God. They are witnesses. He's using the imagery. Paul is using the imagery of a Roman stadium, and they are in the grandstands and they're cheering us on. They are watching from the grandstands, watching us as we run the race. It's a race, he says. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, beloved, for each one of you sitting here today, there is a race set before you. There is a finish line, there is a destination, and there's something that God has for you all along the way. And there are people looking, both that have gone on before and those who are all around us in this world, those who don't understand spiritual things and those who do, looking at how you run your race. You say, oh, I don't have any influence. I'm a nobody. Nobody notices me. Absolutely, someone notices you. Amen. There's not a person in this room that isn't being watched by someone else. And if they know that you have identified yourself as a Christian, make certain that you've not just identified yourself as a conservative. A conservative may be a Christian, but may not necessarily be a Christian. But you have said, I'm a Christian. What kind of race are you running? And can anyone else tell that you're running a race? Or is everything that they look at what they see you doing in the natural that anybody else could do? You may say, I'm so proud of what I've accomplished and the things that I'm doing and the work that I'm doing, or proud of my family or whatever it may be. But beloved, all people in the natural have those things that they're proud of. But the question is there anything in your race that you are running that sets you apart as having the touch of a supernatural God upon your life? That there's something that faith does in your life? Amen. Are you able to withstand temptation because of the power of God? Or do you fail because your own strength can't bear up? The secret is looking unto Jesus in verse 2. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God's called us together here today because when the church meets, it's because God has called us together.
Yes.
God has called us together here today. Always it is for the purpose that God would meet with his people. Not that we would have everything worked out just right. It would be, we'd be able to leave and say, oh, it was a good service. Or some would leave and say, oh, they kind of messed up on that. It's the meeting of God
Amen.
With his people. And I hate to tell you, but God cares little for how things flow in our services.
Amen.
God cares little for whether the volume was right in praise and worship or whether it was balanced right. God cares little for how someone was dressed. He cares little for whether the curtains are up or not, Robert. We appreciate it when they are. God cares little about whether the curtains are up or not, but he cares about your service
Amen.
In doing it.
Amen.
God cares little about what order we do it in, because he always retains the right to change the order if we're sensitive to his spirit.
Amen.
But God calls his people together to meet with him, to speak to where you are right now, and that's what he wants you to open your heart and just lay it bare before him
Amen.
And examine it. Examine it in the light of God's word. To speak to you where you are right now, we're not going to turn backwards, but in chapter 11, verse 6, it says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Amen.
I want to be sure that everyone in this room understands this morning that you could come to church every Sunday for the rest of your life, and we don't do it, but some churches do. You could get a perfect attendance award. You could get a perfect attendance award that you were in church every Sunday for the rest of your life. You could always partake of communion, and you could always sing. You could even raise your hands. You could shout and you could clap. And God appreciates those things. But you can do all of those things and not have a walk of faith. And remember what I just quoted. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Beloved, I want to be clear here this morning. That doesn't mean without you having had faith when you were 6 years old to come down the aisle and receive Christ. You pleased him in that moment.
Right.
And you received salvation. But if you've not walked in faith since then,
right.
What is that to God?
Right.
It requires faith to please God, because it requires faith to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
To walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
You remember the story where Elisha in the Old Testament, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, but we're not going to turn there. Elisha is in the city of Dothan, the town of Dothan, and the armies of Syria have come and they have surrounded the place where they are. And there's going to be a great slaughter. And Elisha's servant goes out and sees this. He sees that the hills are filled with armies, the armies of the Syrians. And Elisha walks outside with him and says, do not be troubled. He said, there are more with us than there are with them.
Yeah.
Now, beloved, the servant doesn't have a clue what that means, because he knows that there are no armies right there with them. There are not more with them than there are surrounding them in the hills. This is where the life of faith comes in. You will fall in your circumstances if you don't understand this. And Elisha prays and says, Lord, would you open his eyes that he could see? And the servant's eyes are open spiritually, looks, and the mountains are filled with the armies of God, spiritual. The armies of God, horses and chariots of fire. And God destroys the work of that other army with no man lifting a finger, as he did over and over and over in the Old Testament. God has called us to a life of faith, and without faith it is impossible to please him. Faith believes whatever God says and acts on it. I just want to enumerate these things before we close this morning. Faith, examine your own heart. Let it be bare before God this morning. Faith believes whatever God says and acts on it. Beloved, for the believer, it's not optional. It's not like, okay, yeah, I'm believing in God, but then all during the week, everything's judged by the natural mind and never by the Word of God or by faith. Faith believes the impossible is possible with God. When everybody else mocks and everybody else laughs, you know that the Word of God is sure.
Amen.
And that it will stand the test.
Amen.
Faith does not walk in an attitude of defeat with its head hung down. It walks in faith. Faith never gives up.
Amen.
Some of you have been praying for someone for years and years. Faith never gives up. Faith acknowledges my own weaknesses and God's great strength, and knows that God can lift me up far beyond any natural abilities.
Amen.
Of my own.
Amen.
Faith chooses righteous actions and righteous attitudes, knowing that God will honor it.
Yes.
Even though it may seem to cost you something in the moment, God will honor it. Faith grows through constant prayer, through the Word, and through rehearsing. And some of you know what that means. Faith grows as you pray and you meditate on the Word of God. But if you remember, how did David stir up the faith when his faith was maybe waning a little bit? How did he stir up his faith? He began to rehearse. He began to speak the things that God had already done for him in the past. God, you strengthened my hand when this happened. And God, you intervened in this circumstance. God, you stopped this army. God, you raised me up that I could do this. God, you did this. And for those of you, it might be, God, you saw me through that time, through the loss of a loved one. God, you strengthened me that I might have a word of encouragement when my own life was falling apart. God, when the doctors gave me a terrible report, and a deathly report, you raised me up and said, not now, not your time, and you healed me.
Amen.
God, you have done so many miraculous things in my life. When you're down and your faith is low, you begin to rehearse what God has already done in your life.
Right.
And it will build up your faith.
Yes.
Faith sees the invisible and brings it to reality. Sees the invisible and brings it to reality. Faith proves. I want you to hear this. I've done it in my own life by the grace of God. And I'm challenging you. Forget what other people say. Faith proves the supernatural.
Right.
Faith proves the reality of God in your life.
Amen.
You may begin in faith, and it's faith, not sight, and faith, not works, and you trust and you believe something you can't even see. But if you walk consistently in faith towards God and trust Him, He will do things that are so astounding that He will prove Himself to you.
Amen.
And others can mock and they can laugh, and you will be able to say, as I did to an atheist relative, you can tell me all about your science and everything you want to tell me, but I know Him better than I knew my own father. And no one can argue with that.
Amen.
Faith generates a testimony.
Amen.
And God wants you to have a dynamic testimony. testimony of what he's doing in your life today. Oh, how they looked at Noah, mocking as he spent 120 years building a ship on dry ground where it had never rained. But look at the legacy that he left. How they looked at Abraham when he went up the mountain with Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice. But he gave the world a nation that was to be a light to the world and a savior for us all.
Amen.
And how they looked at Jesus and thought, what a waste. What a waste of a brilliant mind. What a waste, someone that can move multitudes with his words. What a waste now, dead on a cross. But he has a kingdom that still expands.
Amen.
Day after day after day. How do they look at you and me? Do you have a testimony? Do you have a history with God? Can you tell stories about what God's done in your life? Do you have an influence for Christ? Do you have something of the supernatural working in your life, in your storm, in your circumstances, in your time of need, your test, your trial, which some of you are going through right now? Do others look at you and wonder, how do they stand so strong? How do they still have joy in the midst of this? Faith comes by hearing. I'm going to close with this. Because some people say, well, I just don't know how. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, hearing God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Faith, again, is also restored by rehearsing. And faith is strengthened. Faith is strengthened by meditation on the Word of God, by inspiration from these that we've read about today. And so I'm going to give you, someone in here today may say, I want that, but I don't know how to get there. I'm going to give you a starting point. Take chapter 11 and read it, and then go back, and every one of those people of faith, find them in the Old Testament and study their life. Read their life. And then, because God didn't mean for the book of Acts to be the end of the Acts of God, it's to continue all through history, and it has. So pick up a biography of a great man or woman of God from the past. Missionary. Someone who is known to have done mighty things for God. And read it. And you'll be astounded at how God will inspire you and what He will show you. But most of all, feed on His Word. Believe His Word. And act on His Word, and you will walk in faith. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to close in worship.